himself, and is not rich toward God. And he said unto the disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, and neither for the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, which taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow it cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek ye not what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that you have, and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that fadeth not, nor thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let your loins be girt about, and your lights burning, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord, and when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make him to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch or in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the goodman of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when thou thinkest not. I'll stop reading with the 40th verse. May God bless the reading of his word. Was on this earth, and at this point in time in his life, he did a lot of teaching, a lot of experience, things that he wanted his disciples to learn. And one of them was the not to be covetous. As this man comes to him and speaks to him and wants him to divide the inheritance with his brother, and he points out to him that he was not a judge and he was not a divider over them. It doesn't reveal to us what he had did in that situation, but it just tells us that he made a point here when he said, take heed that ye beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. I think of the comment that someone made one time, and it said that the man with the most toys wins in life. That's not a case at all. And what Christ is trying to teach us here, that we can have a tendency to covet things that are in this earth, things in this life. And we guard against that at all times. Because we are bombarded with advertisements. We're bombarded with things that are so easy to possess. You can get financing so easily nowadays that you don't even have to have much of a credit rating. You can go and buy about whatever you want in the line of possessions, and they'll give it to you. You can have bad credit, completely bad credit, and go to some of these automobile dealers, and they'll sell you a car brand new. Just sign here. That's all you got to do. And they'll make all the arrangements for you. And so we're bombarded with this. It's so easy. And as a result of that, we're not careful as to what we possess and want to get. And so he's warning us here of this, that we're not to be covetous in such a way as that. You know, it was just a few years ago that our country had such a crisis with credit cards. People were just because they had credit cards, they just went and bought anything and everything they wanted. Just put it on a card, no problem. Next thing you know, they got another card. That wasn't enough, they had to get another card. And next to them, they're so high in debt, they don't know, they can't even hardly get out of it. That's covetousness. That's number one prime covetousness. And so he's warning us here that the abundance of these things in this life, it's not. It's not what it's to be. So he goes and uses this example of this rich man. And he talks about him as the one it's a familiar story we read, how he had much goods laid up and he didn't know what to do, so he decided to tear his barns down and build bigger ones, build new ones, and store all of his goods. And then when he did that, I got it made. Everything's good and rosy, just fine. I can sit down, sit back, relax, eat, drink, and be merry. But what he didn't realize is what God had to tell him, and said unto him, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided?" So again, a lesson in covetousness, a lesson in a life of ease, a lesson of not to overabundantly spend and that we got everything that we want and then some. And so this is the example that he leaves, because you could be gone tomorrow. You might not even make it home tonight. And then who's these things going to be? So it leaves us with a deep thought of concern, a lesson for us to understand. Life can be fragile. Life can come and go easy. Just like this virus we got coming in on, and the whole country's alerted about it, and how it's taken lives. And it's happening all over the world. It isn't just here. Life is fragile. Things can happen quick, and you can be gone. And then who's these things going to be? All the stuff that you have. And we all have stuff. We all got accumulation. We got to thinking not too long ago, we want to downsize a little bit. Where do you start? You got so much stuff. Just stuff over. After 50 years, you accumulate all kinds of stuff. Some of it don't even use no more. So we got to guard against this kind of thing in life. This is what happens if we're not careful with covetousness. And this is what I believe he's teaching us here in this lesson. So then he says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or neither with the body for what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and body is more than raiment." And then he uses this example of the birds, the ravens. They don't sow, they don't reap, they don't have barns and storage barns, and God takes care of them. You see, if we can orient our mind in such a way that we don't have to worry about these things. Now, let's face it, we do. Let's be honest with each other. We wonder sometimes, well, are we gonna, where's our next meal gonna come from, or our next paycheck? You know, when we got a income that's a steady income, that's not quite so bad, and you can kind of rely on that, and things can go along smoothly. But take that away, and now what? Where's your faith? Where's your trust in the Lord? Was it in that paycheck every week? So this is what he's trying to teach us here. Don't worry about those kind of things. Yeah, you got it. He knows it. He says here, if God so clothed the grass, which is today, and the field is and in the field, and tomorrow the cast in the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? So you see, he's pointing out here, don't base your faith on the things that you got to eat and the drink and the clothing. That's so easily done in this day and age. Again, back to this simple credit way, wanting more, wanting you don't have enough, you like better. It goes on and on. God knows we need these things, and he will supply them. Now, I know that it's easy for me to stand up here and say this, but it's hard to do sometimes. It's not so easy. We have these kind of concerns, especially men that have a family. And they're concerned to take care of their family, try to supply everything that they can, what they need. And so this kind of can be a heavy weight on your mind, especially if your income isn't so high. But he's saying here, have faith, trust God. And so we guard against that at all times as we grow in our Christian walk of life and live our daily lives, to learn to trust him and not on our paycheck, not on our abundance, not on our covetousness. Because you see, that's what the world does, he says here. For seek not, and seek not ye what ye shall eat or drink, what ye shall drink, neither be of doubtful mind. See, and so this is what he's pointing out here. Because of these things, we become doubtful. And that's one thing God is opposed to. Never doubt your Lord. Never doubt God. Because he will provide. Sometimes it don't look like that. And doubt comes. And that's what Satan wants us to do. He doesn't want us to rely on the Lord. He wants us to doubt. And that's what he's saying. Don't have a doubtful mind. Trust God. He will provide all these things. Because he says, But rather seek ye, no, it says, for all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that you have need of these things. So you see how easy it can be for us to get involved in the things of this world because of covetousness, because of the concerns we have of life, because we think we need this, we need that, we need, well, what am I going to eat, what am I going to drink? You see, we can get so consumed in that. And this is the way of the world. No, don't get caught up in the ways of this world. But it's easy done. It's so easy. It happens. It's life. But we got to guard against it at all times. Be careful not to allow this thing of a doubtful mind come to us. Because it's so easily, so happens. Because he says all the things of the world, the things of the nation of this world, seek after, and your Father knows you had need of them. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. We use that phrase oftentimes to a soul that's seeking, maybe concerned about different things. Just seek the Lord, and these things will be added unto you. That's easy said, real easy said. But do we do it? Do we really seek the kingdom of God and all these things are added unto us? Sometimes I doubt, sometimes I wonder if I'm really seeking the kingdom and not concerned about things of this world. Just because of the way that life is in the abundance we live. I often thought of Uncle George. My Uncle George always said, we live in the land of abundance. And we do. Not all the nations and all the countries around have what we have. A lot of them don't even have jobs. A lot of them don't. They do every little thing. We get some publications from different places where it talks about those in Sudan and those nations where there's fighting going on all the time. These Muslims are fighting with each other, and there's war, and there's whole towns abandoned and they leave and they don't even have a job and they're trying to make the best of it. And the man of the house, he might have two or three children. And he's trying to make a living, trying to make it. So he'll go out and he'll do whatever little jobs that he can just to make a living and makes to afford to pay for help feed his children. And then some of these organizations will find out and they'll come along and they'll offer packages of goods, maybe food, maybe clothing, sometimes both. Sometimes they even put $10 or $15 in there just to add to it so they got some supplement to their own simple little nothing income. And we don't know what that is here. We don't have that kind of a problem here. We live in the land of abundance. We live in a land where all these things are just flowing. It's here. And so we take advantage. We just take it for granted sometimes. It's here, we just get it, no problem. You want this, take your card, go buy it. Take your card, whatever, how are you going to pay it? It's so easy to get into, wrapped up into the cares and the things of this life and then become and have a doubtful mind that God is going to provide for us. He will provide. He'll provide the health that we need. He needs, if we'll but pray and humble ourselves before Him, acknowledge that He is in charge. You know, we talk about this virus going around, and it's true. It's an epidemic. It's something to be somewhat concerned about, but not to be overwhelmed, not to allow it to drag us down and give us a doubtful mind. Brothers and sisters, we have the Lord. The Lord knows our needs. He knows what we need, and He's not going to forsake us. He's not going to allow us. Maybe we might get sick if we're careless, but there's ways to prevent some of this stuff. We have to know what to do and not just take things for granted, but take precautions and especially pray and ask God to help you, protect you through all of this. We need to do this, and not only us for individuals, but those around us. Our co-workers, some people that may not know exactly what to do in these situations. We have to be a witness and a testimony in this time and in this kind of action that's happening around us. Don't worry. Yeah, sure, easy for you to say don't worry. Yeah, that's easy to say, but we still got to trust Him. And if we don't, we're of a doubtful mind. And nothing is displeasing to our God more than to doubt Him, distrust Him, unbelief. We know what the Israelite people, when they didn't want to believe with the Lord, they didn't want to believe the Lord, what happened to them? Everything went backwards for them. Try to get in, they was to take over some of the nations. When they quit trusting the Lord, what happened? They was overtaken. So you see, from the beginning of the Bible clear to the end, the word is nothing more than trust the Lord, wait upon Him, and He will provide. Seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto us. It's exactly what He's saying to us here. And we need to believe that. We need to trust in Him and follow in what His word is teaching us here. Because He says, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He wants us to focus on things that are heavenly, things that would pertain to our Christian walk of life, things that would honor and glorify our God, not the abundance that we have in this life. And that's why He says there, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And then He says, let your loins be girt about and your light so shining. But first He says, sell all that you have. Give alms, provide bags which wax not old, and a treasure in heaven that fadeth not, where no thief nor approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Think of that rich young ruler came to Christ and said, what must I do to be saved? He said, well, what about the commandments? You know, I kept them all my life, I mean, my youth up. Good. Sell all that you have, give to the poor, and come follow me. You know what he did? He walked away sorrowful. Sorrowful. You know why? Because he trusted and believed in his abundance in what he had. And so he had a problem with that. Sell all that I have? Excuse me? And he went away sorrowful. Now, is it realistic for us to stand up here and tell you to sell everything that you have? That's not going to happen. But I do think that we need to be concerned and recognize that, we do have an abundance, but we need to realize that there are others that don't, and that we can help others. There are people that are starving. When we was in Florida, they have this called the food bank down there, and they got all this food that comes in by the truckloads. They got volunteers that come in and they disperse these goods to the poor people. I didn't know there were so many poor people in Florida. And they said, oh, yeah, there is. They come here and they get in. And there's organizations that come there, maybe a church or maybe a Red Cross or other places like that. They'll come in there with a van and they'll fill up their van, give them the stuff, and they take it out and they disperse it to their individual people that they know needs. And so it's a great big operation. It's unbelievable what they go through. I saw warehouses there, such huge, big warehouses stacked up with all kinds of food and dry goods. Everything you can think of is in that warehouse, and they just disperse it. When we was in there, a guy came with a big semi-truck, about half full of frozen ice cream. The company made too much. They didn't know what to do with it, so they bring it over here. Here they give it to them. They unloaded the truck, brought their freezer truck, they got a trailer with a freezer. They brought that in, loaded it in there so it wouldn't thaw for the weekend, and they're going to distribute that to wherever the poor people, wherever they need it. This is the kind of thing that we need to invest in ourselves. The ones that do all this work are volunteers. Volunteers from all over. Neighborhood, especially the sister church. There's a lot of people from the sister church goes there and works and distributes this stuff. There was a truckload of bread came in. They divided that all up, put it into little bags and containers. When someone comes in, here, take it, take this. It's got food, it's got different things in it, bread, whatever. Unbelievable. But this is the kind of thing that they have organized and done, and it has expanded unbelievably size. This is only one warehouse in Florida. There's a bigger one even, they tell me, in Indiana that they operate out of. This kind of thing is what we need to understand how we can help. And if you can't be there and volunteer, you can support it by your financial needs. They need financial help all the time. And they'll take anything that you're willing to give. And they're always in need of finances. So that's one way we can help. And that's only one organization. There are a lot of organizations that we can contribute to help, serve, to give to people. Give of our abundance. And I'm sure that every one of us can relate to our abundance if we want to be honest with ourselves. Oh, sometimes we might think, oh, poor me, I don't have nothing. No. If you live in this United States and you got yourself a job, don't tell me you don't have nothing, because you do have something. You might not have all that you want. You might not have all the abundance you think you need, but you have something. You have something more than a lot of people on the face of this earth that don't have. That's this country in which we live. So we need to be thankful. We need to be concerned about these things. And that's why he tells us here that we need to be a shining light in this world. That's what he's saying here. Let your lights, your loins be girded about and your lights burning. And ye yourselves like unto the men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open to him immediately. Blessed are those servants who, when the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself and make him sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve him. So this is a promise that is being made for those of us that let your light so shine. Be ready. That's why he says here, because we don't know. And if he shall come in the second watch, in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the goodman of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and had not had suffered his house to be broken through. Be therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour that you think not. So the whole concern, the whole concept of what we just read here, not to be covetous, not to worry about overabundance and having overabundance, not to worry about the very things that we, the necessities that we need and have, but that we need to trust God, wait upon him, let our light so shine that when he comes, we will be ready, watching and waiting. And this is what he's saying here, to be good stewards. Be therefore ready, for the Son of Man cometh in an hour that you think not. So the concern that Christ, I believe, had here is that we get so wrapped up in life, so wrapped up in the food and the drink and the clothes that we need, that we have become this doubtful mind. And as he says here, he comes when we think not, because we're wrapped up in the things of this life. We need to be ready and waiting. For my friends outside of Christ, you're not ready, not even close. You need, like we heard this morning, humble yourselves, repent, and turn to the Lord while the day of grace is still at hand. I often wondered sometimes how the Lord is going to come and be here and be clear on the other side in Australia at the same time, be in the Far East at the same time. But I come to the conclusion, you know what? I don't got to worry about that. Why are you worrying about that? You don't got to worry about that. The Lord's coming, and when he comes, you'll know it. You'll hear the trumpet, and you better be ready. That's the bottom line. Don't worry how he's going to do it. He's going to come like a flash of lightning. It's going to happen quick. And those of us that are ready, we're going to be out of here. And those of you who are not, the abundance of this world and the things in this life, they're all yours. And when I'm gone, my wife's gone, and you're still here, feel free to go to my house, take anything you want out of there, because I won't have no use for it. It's all yours. The way it is, and that's life, and that's when it's going to that's how it's going to happen. The scripture makes it very clear: when he comes, you're going to hear the sound of the trumpet, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we that are alive shall be caught up in the skies with him. No more be here. So you can make the choice yourself. You have the opportunity. You know what the Lord wants of you. You know what to expect, because you don't know what hour and you don't know what day he's coming. None of us do. But what we do know, we better be ready. May God bless these words upon our hearts.